brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the second Sunday of Lent. And before we take a look at those readings, let me ask you, have you made a decision on one particular area that keeps you from drawing closer to God? Might not be terribly bad, but it keeps you from the time or the energy or whatever to spend more time with God. Brothers and sisters, someone died for you that you might have eternal life, the fullness of life, complete happiness with no end, ever. God died for you in Christ so that you might enjoy eternity with the source of all goodness, all truth, all beauty, all love. Can you not prepare your heart to receive him more this year than any other Easter in the past? Can you open your heart and take one area in your life? Don't try to overhaul yourself. That never works. It's God's priorities. But if you take one area and you offer it to God and say, teach me, change me, if you can make a good confession more than once during this six-week period, it gives you more grace and more strength, and it really does, more grace, more strength to live according to his word, to live according to what you desire to do, to be a man or woman of peace and beauty and truth and goodness. My goodness, brothers and sisters, it would change the world. So are there out there among my listening audience, are there those of you who say, I want to move forward? I want to move forward. Well, the first thing to do is go to confession and get a clean slate. Try to go a couple times during Lent if you can, because there's such grace and such power imparted. Our problem is we go to confession and walk out and that's it. When that's actually a beginning, that's when the slate gets wiped clean. Then you come before the Lord, you pray your penance, and you say, Lord, what would you have me do now? Show me the way. And just make a decision on one thing that will help you to live out the goodness that God wants to give you and the goodness that he wants to work through you for the lives of others. So please take advantage. Please. The opening prayer, O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. If our spiritual sight becomes more and more pure, we're going to make more and more the right decisions and choices. If we're going to be able to repent more quickly and more radically, really wanting to change. And when those things have even begun, to use one analogy, the light of Christ does begin to shine in you and through you. And you know a peace that the world cannot give. These are not just statements, they're realities. But your part is to look at your sin, face it, repent of it, go to confession as many times as you need to get that sin out of your life. God will give it to you. If you ask him, if you do what the priest asks you to do, you'll be set free more and more. We're not perfect. But it'll lessen. First of all, it lessens, and then lessens a little more, and then you suddenly discover a couple years down the road, I'm not even tempted by that anymore. But notice I said a couple years. Take one area of your life that you think is the biggest obstacle to walking in union with God. Decide on it now. Don't take all Lent, because God wants to give you help even now in these days about how to handle whatever it is. It's the sin that plagues you, the sin that keeps coming back at you. God wants to give you freedom. Let's take a look now at the first reading from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 2, 9, 10 to 13, and then 15 to 18. So it's a bit scattered here. Book of Exodus chapter 22. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. My goodness, Abraham had to really trust God, didn't he? Take your son, your only one whom you love, offer him as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you. His only son. God is saying, sacrifice him to me. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out, took the knife to slaughter his son. Not because he was evil at all, but he was willing to be obedient to God, even though it involved probably the dearest thing to him on this earth. He reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son, but the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son, a thank offering. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly. I will make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command. I will bless you abundantly. I will make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies." In other words, all your descendants are going to have a good life, and they are going to be blessed. All this because you obeyed my command. There are times when we know what God commands of us. Anything in the Ten Commandments, there it is. Sometimes in personal relationships, we know, even if we're tempted to something, we know what God is asking of us. And if we are faithful to him, he will bless you. Psalm 116, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." "I believed," says the psalmist, "even when I said I am greatly afflicted. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay." That's the result. You're obedient to God when it's very difficult. God blesses you, and then you can put your lives more easily into his hands. He loves you. He wants you to walk with him as his son, as his daughter. And then the second reading is the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. "Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. We are taken care of, brothers and sisters, if we put our trust in him, if we follow him, if we repent when we fail. He is with us. And the gospel today is the gospel of Mark. And again, I recommend by going to the bookstore on our website, you could get this book, The Gospel of Mark, written by Dr. Mary Healy. It's a marvelous study of the Gospel of Mark that would include all these passages of Mark that are found in the Gospels. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. I mean, suddenly they see these visions, and Jesus himself is transfigured right in front of them. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. And then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Brothers and sisters, that is what God our Father says to you today. This word is living. This word is given to you today. Listen to it carefully. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Perhaps that's the area you should focus on the rest of Lent, really listening to the Lord, listening to his word, obeying him, because there is so much fruit and so much blessing when we do. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man was risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead really meant. It's all new, brothers and sisters. Jesus tells them what awaits them. And the Father speaks to them as Jesus is transfigured. The Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Pope John Paul made a comment. We made a lot of comments about this passage, but the one that strikes me again and again and again is he said that after they left the mountain of transfiguration, they went down the mountain to the plain again, and then they began the climb to Calvary. And Pope John Paul said this was Jesus giving them, if they could really receive it, giving them the knowledge of who God really was and the power of who God was and the words of the prophets to give them hope and to give them courage as they now began to go through the suffering and death of the Savior. May you receive the same faith and the same hope. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.